Episode 171.
Relate to people on the level that they understand. And unfortunately, when you do a really, really great job at fixing somebody's car and you just give it back to them, well, great, it runs. The norm no longer is just fixing the car right the first time. It's the whole experience that's involved from the moment the phone is answered, having the extremely positive attitude.
Welcome, aftermarketers, to Remarkable Results Radio. Listen to learn just one thing from today's episode on your journey to remarkable results. Hey, aftermarketers, you're listening to Remarkable Results Radio podcast with Carm Capriotto. And it's the place where ideas, insights, and personal achievement is served up two times per week. Today I'm with Bob Noriega from AutoWorks of Tampa in episode 171. And always remember to see the episode show notes at remarkableresults.biz/E171. This episode is made possible through the sponsorship of Federal Mogul Motor Parts. Search for parts, get the latest technical updates, and sign up for their new Garage Rewards Loyalty Program at their all-new website, fmmotorparts.com. I'm so proud of the guests we've had on and want to publicly thank them for being so open, honest, and sharing with their success stories. With all this great audio perfectly archived on the internet, we can always use more listeners. Can you do me a favor? Share. Yes, simply share via email or on my Facebook page or even from the website. And thanks. Now, get ready to meet Bob Noriega from AutoWorks of Tampa. This young entrepreneur has a strong direction set and is deliberate about achieving his success. This episode not only spends quality time on Bob's business and view of the industry, we also talk about beer. Yes, he is a beer connoisseur, and he shares his passion for his desire to taste limited-run private brews. Many hot topics discussed, like SEO, training, an unequaled customer service commitment, ASE, finding new customers, and how he went from a pizza delivery man to a shop owner. It's a great story. An in-depth interview with strong insights, expertise, and a solid story of personal achievement. Now, here we go with Bob Noriega. Hey, I'd like you to meet the owner of AutoWorks of Tampa, recently featured in an article in Ratchet & Wrench on raising your prices the right way back in October of 2016. In fact, we were already discussing, and all of a sudden the article came out, and I said, wow, this is really cool. I have a superstar in my hands. Let's have a warm welcome to Bob Noriega from AutoWorks of Tampa. Bob, are you ready to share your remarkable results?
Hey, Carm. Thanks for having me on here. I'm more than excited than ever to have a spot on your show.
Thanks, man. So I'll tell you what we're going to talk about today. You may not understand this or appreciate this, but we're going to talk a shop and we're going to talk beer.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. I know a little about both.
I know. And that's what I found out when we were on it. In fact, I just sat back and listened so intently in our pre-call about what you know about beer. So interesting. So, okay. So you don't have a pedigree of being a technician and eventually opening your shop. How'd you start your business?
This was an interesting question, Carm. I started this almost 8 years ago out of the side of my mom's house when I was starting college, and I found out I needed to make some money to help me pay for the college. I took this as a hobby of that ever since I was a small child. I had the dirt bikes and the go-karts and eventually turned into my first car. And my father in particular was I gave you the seed and you need to go and you need to run with it. So whenever it came to servicing this car or it breaking down, it was everything I could do to keep this thing together, because I had no other option. It's either fix it or walk, so having that kind of in the back of my mind, I'm getting into college and I need to make money and I didn't want to take student loans out. So I took this hobby of mine and I decided one day to start treating it as a business. And when I did that, I started to see some growth. I went from working on friends' cars, doing the whole A to Z operation to a year into it, I hired my first tech. I went and I installed two lifts and made a garage. And then by the end of that second year, I had enough business to quit my regular job and do this full time. My technician was slammed with work. I have tow trucks coming in. By the way, this is a fully residential neighborhood in the smack middle of Tampa. And I had to put a wooden picket fence around the whole property to hide all of this. And at the end of that second year, I looked back and I said, wow, maybe I have something going on. This is phenomenal. I then went and set out for the hunt on where in the world am I going to move and put this business at. And I tried to find, and this was in the middle of the Great Recession, I was trying to find a property, just an empty building, to move the business into. And what I kept finding in Tampa is that everything was, real estate-wise, was either way too overpriced or the buildings I were looking at were way dilapidated or a combination of both. And out of frustration, I was driving by this shop called John's Imports, and I drove in and talked with the owner and explained my position and asked him if he was interested in selling. I fully was expecting to get kicked out, and I was okay with that, and I was just going to go to the next door, to the next door, next door.
Okay, you were just cold calling to find a place. Okay.
Yeah, and I was completely blown away when John said, yeah, absolutely. I'm ready.
Wait a minute. He had been praying to the succession god all along, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And here I was. So 2.5-3 weeks later, we had everything hammered out, all the details, and we closed on the building. I ended up.
Wait a minute. 2 weeks?
2 weeks. It was fast. It was fast. No time to tell any customers. Nothing. And because of that, the first thing I did. Because I didn't have any signage change. I was so behind the eight ball at that moment that all I could think to do was make this big yellow sign that said, Bob is here. and I put it on the fence. And that just caused – it's such a good question, especially if you're used to going to this establishment. And is you'd come in and go, who's Bob?
Who's Bob? Wasn't there a movie or a commercial? You know, where's Bob? Who's Bob? Great idea.
And it was really just for my existing customers to be able to find me. Yeah, but, sure, but it ended up being such a great marketing piece that I would find just people in the neighborhood would stop in and just kind of wanted to cure the question of who this Bob guy was. And that's how I started. Since that point, one of John's technicians, his son as well, stayed on and helped me transfer the business from John to me. He did a really, really phenomenal job. I ended up retaining the majority of their customers, moving my client base over right down the road, and I have yet to see a slow day since.
How far away from your home to where you are today?
Mile and a half.
Okay, so you were close, and that's why the sign, Bob is here. I love it. Okay. Hey, what were you doing before? Remember you said, well, I've got so much going on, I had to quit my day job. What was your day job?
My day job was delivering pizzas. In the middle of the Great Recession, that was the only thing I could find without any sort of college degree, that was it. I remember those were really, really tough days. And I'm the type of person that's just going to do whatever I have to do necessary to make it happen. So I ethically, of course, but that was the only work that I could find. And that was hardly enough to pay any of the bills to keep anything going. So that helped me get through college, but also helped me find what I have today.
So the book's going to be titled From Pizzas to Automotive Repair.
Yeah, there you go.
Wow. I'm talking with Mike Zralik, a technical product specialist with Federal Mogul Motor Parts. So you have this van, and it's the Guru on the Go van, and it's all nicely decked out, and you drop by for lunches and learns. How do shops get a chance to get that van to come to their place?
Well, they can, of course, call into our guru hotline and request it, they can talk to their parts distributor, you know, and through that channel, we can go out and do some training, or even with us out in the field. You know, if they see us, we do various warehouse distributor type shows, many different events. We're out there everywhere. Just come by and ask, and we'll be more than happy to come by.
Hey, Mike, if I said you were a champion for Federal Mogul Motor Parts, would I be right?
You betcha.
So give me an example.
I live, eat, breathe Federal Mogul on a daily basis. You know, growing up, being in the racing industry, I knew a lot about Moog. I loved Moog. Felpro, same thing. To go out and be able to talk about a company this big, this strong, it makes me happy every single day. I'm so excited to do it on a day in and day out basis.
What are technicians saying after you're done with your presentation?
When can you come back? They want more day in and day out.
They want more, and you have more to give. You've got so many key product lines in the industry.
Oh, we have a ton of product lines and a ton of training that's available, you know, with those product lines and on a technical side too.
How dazzled are the techs to see that compression-loaded ball joint with the pre-installed integral dust boot?
They come unglued. They are so excited about that because less frustrations. You know, they've been dealing with issues in the field of damaging that boot during installation, and it makes it so much easier to put in. And it's a beautiful piece.
Federal Mogul Motor Parts' Garage Gurus is your go-to source for the vehicle training, technology, and answers you need to keep your next job on track. On site, online, or on demand, the gurus are here to help keep your business and your career on the road to success. Visit fmgarageguru.com. You told me you've yet to see a slow day.
Correct. Yes, absolutely. When I came into John's shop, this was your typical shop that we talk about so much in the industry. We have a good set of mechanics that really have gotten stuck in marketing, in numbers, in sales, and they were unfortunately on a slow decline. So when I arrived there, I started picking apart the business, and I said, all right, where's their problem at? And what I found out is that their marketing was none, no website, no maybe a Yellow Pages ad, which I don't know who uses that anymore. So I took a little bit of money and I started setting it aside so we can start building a website, so we could start building some SEO. And what I ended up finding is that their customer base was not growing, and their customers were literally either going away or dying, and they weren't being replaced with new ones. So one of my strongest points is to infiltrate Google, Bing, Yelp. I want to be on the top of the page anytime you click on or search automotive repair or any keywords that are related to the things that we do. And I find that 80% of our new customers are coming from this method, as well as the word of mouth. In fact, my signage is almost nil. I mean, I have the proper Auto Works of Tampa sign, but I find that not too many people are just driving in off the street saying, hey, I saw your sign, wanted to come get my car worked on. It's strongly finding us online, seeing our great reviews, or hearing about us from the local neighborhood, from your trusted friend. I want my customer to, or my potential new customer to find me through a trusted, verified source. So by the time they're in front of us, they already have an idea of what they're going to experience.
I've seen your reviews. They're amazing.
I try very, very hard for those.
Wow. I've got one here. Bob Noriega and Tampa, the Auto Works of Tampa, are infused with old school customer service. The kind where the business owner not only knows your name, is conscientious and extremely professional, but he also goes way above and beyond to send a thank you note and even a small gift. Whoa. It goes on to say, who does that? It's a spectacular gesture of charm and class. I drove 45 minutes to have Bob fix my brakes, and it goes on and on and on. It talks about car wash, and this person said, I give 6 stars if I could highly recommend it. And that was 5 months ago. So I said, well, let me go look at the current ones. Well, the current ones are all 5 stars, too. So it got me to thinking about you've not been in business that long. You've got a great story on how you got where you got. And where have you been able to amass this business acumen that has, you know, driven you so hard?
It's a mental for me. I believe that I have a certain set of goals and dreams, and you have to have commitment. You need to be able to listen very well. You need to treat the business like a business and not a hobby. And we see that too much in our industry where people slack a little bit too much. They're not, they may be great at fixing a car, but the customer experience is not there. We need to relate to people on the level that they understand. And unfortunately, when you do a really, really great job at fixing somebody's car and you just give it back to them, well, great, it runs. The norm no longer is just fixing the car right the first time. It's the whole experience that's involved from the moment the phone is answered, having the extremely positive attitude, be really willing and eager to help.
Okay, so take me to day one. You buy the place after you walked in 2 weeks later. You acquire their techs. You brought your customers with you, and you're sitting there saying, "Oh my God, what did you do first and then second to help ensure what you just said to me, that customer experience?"
Systems and processes was my number one. It was, let's get a consistency to what happens from the point the customer drops off the car to when they pick it up. So I after I sat back and I studied what was going on, I started developing the systems, and where we have, you know, a checklist to where we were doing the phone calls consistently, to where we're washing every single car every time, whether they come in for $5,000 worth of service or I'm putting their tag plate sticker on. I want to make sure that experience is going to be consistent. And then I want to make sure that we're following up. What I find is that some personality types don't want to bring up the small little things that they felt were important and maybe a primary reason why they even did business with you and you didn't solve it. So I'm on the phone 3 days after, giving them a buzz. Hey, just want to make sure you're comfortable. Everything was great. Had a good experience. Anything, any questions? Most of the time those go great. Sometimes it's, you know what? That little thing still makes that noise. Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. If you have time, let's bring it in and let's remedy that. And those little details and those little analyticals are what makes the difference between good to great. So in a nutshell, that is what I did. Is I came in and I made this process consistent. On top of, I started measuring the numbers to figure out where the weak points of this business were.
So obviously the former business wasn't making a lot of money.
Not anymore. I think they had a great business when they first started, and through whatever economic challenges they had, they ended up not in a good position. So, okay. So I was able to take what was left of that, and it was a great client base, and really change it in such drastic ways that they still accepted it, and they actually loved it even more, but were able to retain them in a way they were comfortable, but also get them to send their friends in as well.
So you said systems and processes are the key. Now, can you actually take what you've built and duplicate that and grow?
That's my next step. That's my next step.
Ah.
We're looking for a third technician at this location, and then we are going to duplicate exactly what we have into another shop. What I am looking for is another one of the same situations where we have a baby boomer who is looking to get out. They've done a great job as far as working on cars, but everything else is struggling. I want to go in and buy that person out and then just copy the system right over.
So how are you finding your steady flow of new customers?
Word of mouth is the old tradition, but I put in good amount of resources into AdWords, SEO, having a great looking website. Within that, I want to every so often go in and make sure that my keywords are you know, SEO is a beast that you really have to sit down and pay attention to.
Who's
that?
Who's doing that for you, though? Are you doing it, Bob, or is Kukui doing it for you?
Kukui is doing it for me. They're executing the task, but
okay,
they're a great place, great company, phenomenal people to work with. But it is just like anything else. You're going to have your own best interest in what you're doing, so you need to get behind them and review what they're doing and review what specifics are going on and constantly keep modifying it. I find myself that whenever I go into somebody else's shop, I'm going to start Googling myself in an outside location. And if I'm not seeing AutoWorks of Tampa pop up on the first page, I'm giving them a buzz and seeing what's going on. So another thing I'm doing is we just kicked off with is a SEO, just to know even more about it. There's a company out there that will dig into this, into the metadata. They will get into the very, very ones and zeros of what's going on online. And I have kicked off with them to figure out where my weak points are. They're pretty much doing a SWOT analysis for me online. And then I'm going to get that report back here hopefully this next week. And I'll even know more information about online than ever before. So the large part of, to answer your question, a large part of what we're doing is marketing to our local community within the internet.
So you're setting yourself up to have a great web presence, to be able to be to come up on mobile search, as an example, as you could grow your business. That is going to help feed that growth.
Absolutely. I want to see about 20 to 25% new customers every single month. And once you get that, you will start seeing that this perpetual cycle of those new customers are coming in. They're loving what they're seeing and, you know, what it tastes like, what it feels like. They're leaving the reviews, and then they're also becoming cheerleaders for us and going out and telling their friends.
Isn't that great? Now, I'm going to become an AutoWorks of Tampa customer, and I'm talking to my friends. What am I going to tell them that makes your business unique?
The experience is what I focus on. Of course, everybody's getting their car fixed. It's getting fixed right the first time, we hope, through any shop in the world. The difference is the personal connection, is the ability that you know either my name, you know my service advisor's name. By the end of the experience, you have our cell phone numbers. If anything ever comes up, you have a very, very direct connection to somebody that's going to help you get out of trouble. It's the follow-up calls. We send out little bits of candy to our new customers, thanking them for a business with a handwritten note attached to that. And of course, a whole bunch of business cards stuffed in with that envelope as well. Mm-hmm. So we're training our customers to, you know, if you love what we do, if you love what you see, taste and smell, then get out there and let everyone else know about it.
Hey, Bob, are you proud of your bedside manner?
I really, really do feel that when you are delivering information, of course, this is going to be bad information, because, or it's good information, but it's going to cost you some money. You need to take the time and slow down and really deliver the news in a way that somebody can feel like you care about them and the situation that they're in.
Problem-solving news, really.
It's problem-solving news. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So, yeah, you have to slow down, because this may be the 1,000th time I've told somebody about a brake job that went to full caliper lockups, to some horrible situation that they're in. But to them, it's the first time they've heard this news. So sitting down next to them, taking a deep breath, and going through this step by step with them until they completely understand and accept the situation and they're ready to move forth with you. That's the care and compassion that myself or any service writer really needs to be able to relate and in turn be successful at what they do.
Service writer, you have one?
Yes.
And has that person been educated and going to schools?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The first thing I do when I hire a service writer is there is a, there's a program called through Margie Safer. It's called Lip Service. That's the first thing that they do is just, and the class tells you, teaches you how to relate to people, how to answer the phone properly, how to greet people correctly with care and compassion. After that, after we get all the technicals and specifics of the job in, I will send them out wherever they need to go to attend one of Cecil Bullard's service advisor classes. This was the class that I had found shortly after acquiring John's that really taught me a lot about the process of service writing. Up until that point, I really had no technical training on the service writing end.
So going to school or getting a business coach right out of the chute, almost, was it soon after you started the, you know, the I don't want to say the legitimate business, but when you moved to the full-blown facility, how long after that did you get a business coach?
It was within the first 3 months. It was in the first 3 months, and it was just kind of just a curiosity's sake. I saw the class pop up on WorldPAC's website, and I sat back and I said, boy, I've made it this far without any sort of manual, book, training, any coaching, anybody to be there to say this is the way it could happen. And I said, if I took this course, I would be dangerous. And so I signed up.
You know, that is such a refreshing review because some people say, listen, I've made it this far. Why do I need any more help? And that would be their ego talking. But what you basically said is, hey, put the ego on the shelf and say, hey, I want to be a perpetual student.
I am. I really, really feel I am. Every day I go into work, every day I live and breathe, I'm learning. I'm learning about people. I'm learning about my business, my industry. I'm learning about my technicians, and I am extremely, extremely interested in that aspect.
Refreshing to hear. Now, describe the learning culture inside of AutoWorks of Tampa.
The learning culture comes in on both the technician side and, as we just shortly talked about, on the service advisor side. On the technician side, we're in a world today, and a really, really good time to be in the automotive service and repair industry because we have so much technology and so many sophisticated systems in vehicles today. I think it's fascinating, and it's really going to make the difference between the regular shop that just does your quick oil changes and your suspension work and brakes and get you out of there and a real deal shop that is going to be able to completely service your Mercedes S-Class, BMW 7 Series. That now we're looking at cars that have 220 different computers or as we refer to them, modules in them. They're all constantly talking to each other on a high-speed data bus. Staying up with this is necessary. It's critical. I incentivize my technicians to complete a minimum of 40 hours of training per year, and we break that down into – goals have to be achievable, so let's break that down into quarters, 10 hours a quarter. And that's something that you have to – I mean, not everybody's going to be like me where they really, really are eager to know every little bit and piece about one specific system.
Okay, so wait a minute. Are they leader-led, online? Are you searching for the seminars to bring to them? Give me an idea of the mechanics.
I let them lead themselves. I will give them a pool of classes to choose from, and they whatever they're interested in, they pursue. And whether this is locally done, whether it's done online, we have online coaching as well, or training, and or whether I got to fly them to the other side of the United States, that's okay because they're interested in it. They want to learn it. I want them to learn it. So it's small pennies to pay in the long run. And to see these guys come back from their training and they are, you know, I always ask, how did it go? Oh, they're so fired up. They're so ready. They have all this knowledge and information in their head, and they just can't wait to use it. And you just see them go back out in the shop, and they are just way more excited and way more productive. So I think it's a very, very important piece. But it's also important for our technicians to grow within the business and within the industry and understand what's coming around the corner.
Yeah. Hey, do you value ASE?
Absolutely.
Why?
It's one of the only ways that we can prove to ourselves and to our customers that we have met the benchmark. And I think the ASE program could expand and become way more specific, and there could be way more certifications, because there's more than just 11 or 12 different groups that we could be in. So I think ASE has a little bit to do and to raise their bar, but I believe that standardized testing is necessary in our industry.
Thanks. DVI, digital vehicle inspections. Are you into it?
We are getting into it. Okay. We're not into it yet. I want a paperless shop. I feel horrible every time I have to print a paper out twice. The digital inspection itself specifically is a great tool. Sometimes we're having conversations with customers that are hard to break down into a relatable level, especially when we're talking about computer and technology. So if we have the ability to capture screenshots and say, this is good, this is not good, this is what these look like next to each other. Pictures are worth 1,000 words. You could talk about something being broken or worn out, or you could show a picture of it. So even though we haven't fully converted.
So are you looking, how are you doing your research?
I'm evaluating two different companies right now, and I'm meeting with both of them. And I actually want to go to shops that each one of these are in, and I want to see how the systems compare to each other and which one's going to be the best for our shop and which one's going to be the best for our
Got it. Well, don't tell me who they are some days, because we'll find out one day exactly what you chose. How do you measure success? Is it profit? Is it car count? Do you have a major number that you hunt for all the time?
Absolutely. I mean, we have targets within our business, and my service advisors, my technicians all understand their respective parts in the business. If we can set some targets and set goals, we have clear expectations of where we want everybody, including myself, to be at any given point at the year, the week, the month, whatever we're looking at. So yeah, absolutely. There is numbers out there that we're tracking everything, and then we're taking these numbers and saying, all right, you did great. Here's where we want to be. Here's where you're at. And here's where the problems happened, or here's what you did really, really well.
So there's a group of numbers, not any one specific bellwether.
Exactly. There's different aspects. So we're tracking productivity. We're tracking parts margins. We're tracking sales cost, parts to labor ratio. We're keeping tabs on how much we're spending on marketing. I think marketing is something you really, really need to track.
I got to give you kudos to that article that you were interviewed in Ratchet and Wrench. They interviewed you and Bob Cooper from Elite about raising prices, including labor. It's a great story, and I don't want to go into it because people can just go to Ratchet and Wrench October 2016 and read it. You talked about, price matrixing and everything. Great story. Industry problem and a solution.
Our industry is in a interesting position. I feel that, and I really feel like a helper to my customers, but also to my industry. I go and talk to other shop owners in my area, and then also outside of my area with the 20 group that I'm in. And I really try to take a understanding of their business and ask them questions to see if there's anything I can do to help. Right now we're in a period where our technicians are are not getting what they deserve. Our business owners aren't getting what they deserve. They're selling themselves short every single day because they're not confident in what they're doing and they're not confident in what they're charging. We need to, as an industry, really ramp up and really get on a better playing field to where our business owners understand what they're doing and why they're doing it, and then passing that along to their staff to have the goals and have the mindset to succeed and to really feel confidence in what they're doing. So, and charging appropriately for it. And that way, if every one of these businesses I touch can be successful, we're as an industry going to raise the bar and become better and more fulfilling at what we do.
Hey, I think you love what you do.
Every day. I wake up and I am just driving in, listening to my jams, and I am just so excited to be where I'm at. And if you told me 7.5 years ago, Bob, this is what you're going to be doing today, I would have told you, how do I get there quicker?
Well, you are extremely inspiring to me. And as a young person in this industry, wow. I don't want to ask your age, but you're a young, young guy who absolutely knows what he wants. And I also believe you have a passion beyond the shop.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
A four-letter word.
Yeah.
It starts with a B.
Yeah. I am into...
Wait a minute. You told me, Carm, you know, I'm a beer trader. And I said, what the heck is a beer trader?
This is kind of a new thing. Beer is the new wine.
I'll have to catch up because I'm a whiny. Yeah.
It's you're already there. We're using the same terminology. If you know, we're smelling, we're tasting, we're breaking it down into four or five different parts. You know, is this fruit forward? Is this, you know, is this bitter? Is this, you know? So I started this quite some time ago, and I have a network of traders in the United States that what we find is that the really, really rare good beer bottles that are produced are usually never distributed outside of that one brewery building ever.
Wait, you mean like they're one-off productions?
Yes, yes. We're talking about 3,000 bottle batches. You got to imagine Budweiser must make 3,000 bottles a second, you know, and there's batches of beer that are handcrafted, barrel-aged in old alcohol barrels, whiskey barrels, bourbon barrels, and they are, you know, hand bottled and then sold off or sold off in these small batches. So you have to really be in the know and on the inside of.
So wait a minute. These are lovingly made by brewmasters and they're in limited production. It's not like you're going to go to a bar and taste it. Do you have to be an insider?
Yeah, I'm a part of a club here in Tampa with one of the bigger craft beer breweries, and they only have 3,000 positions, club members. The club will never, in the 5 years it's existed, it's never grown beyond that. So the only way to get into it is somebody has to drop off, and then you're in the lottery to get into it. So
wow,
I found it interesting because they approached – they opened this program up and they said, hey, all right, for this many dollars, we will produce 5 different bottles of beer for you. And I go, okay, well, what is it? And they go, well, we don't know. Oh, okay. And so I said, well, this is kind of interesting. It's almost like beer futures. I'm investing into something that I have absolutely no idea when it's coming, what it's going to be like. And
yep, but it's not there for the profitability side. It's just there for the enjoyment side.
For me, it is. For me, it's an enjoyment thing. Of course, you could turn around and resell these limited releases for really, really top profit.
Can you sell those bottles outside of your network to someone who really is an aficionado for beer that isn't in a club? My point is you don't have to keep these amongst the membership, do you?
No, you don't. You don't. You're free to do whatever you'd like. All right. And drink it is really the objective. So a lot of what we do is we come together, whether we are in the club or out of the club, just beer lovers in general, and we will open up these bottles and everybody will take a little samples of them.
Okay, so it's like a small pour and you're tasting it.
Exactly. It's the tasting. Exactly. That's what we call it. If somebody really wants it and they don't want to just come over and enjoy it with you, I've been known to resell bottles for $150 a bottle.
Man.
It's
just like wine. I mean, I've gone to, parties and, they've taken out the extremely expensive, wonderfully long-aged bottle of California Cab or an Italian, and we all take, these little tiny sips and we savor it, and, that little half-inch or inch pour could last you a half hour while you're savoring it and enjoying it.
Absolutely.
Same with beer.
Mm-hmm. That's today's world that we're in. So, little hobby of mine.
Coffee's the same, almost the same. What's interesting is one day I picked up I love coffee too, and I started to read about coffees, and I said, oh my God, they've almost duplicated how they talk about wine.
Yes. That's something I haven't got into, but I see that. I have customers that have their own roasters in their garage, and they come and they bring me packets of their freshly ground roasted coffee and sometimes barter for work on their car.
You told me on our, and you just mentioned it, you told me on our pre-call that they're putting beer in bourbon barrels and letting them sit.
Yes. That's a really cool thing that's going on. Beer is now being produced, and you can take an old, or a spent, I should say, whiskey barrel, bourbon barrel, any barrel of your choice, and put this beer in and just let it sit.
How long do they leave it for?
Depends on what you'd like.
It depends on where they're going. I mean, they obviously must taste it occasionally and say, "Oh, perfect! This is." And they may never duplicate that. I mean, is that what you're saying? And
they won't. Yeah, these will be. That will be it. It is unduplicatable. It is. It's the character of the barrel. It's the temperature that season was going through. It's very, very specific. So, yeah, they're. What's coming out of these barrels is just something that you never experienced before and highly recommend. Yes.
Thank you for the trip down this this beer thing that I had not known about until I had met you. Wonderful. Hey, let's go back to the mainstream entrepreneurial discussion that we've had. What mark do you want to leave on this world, Bob?
I want to be known as a successful, helpful human being that woke up every day to give their all to the world in whatever way possible.
Wow. Unlimited time, unlimited money. What would you be doing in life?
I'm a car guy through and through. I'm sure I would have a pretty extensive collection. No matter what customer brings what car, I always walk out to do my sign in, and I always have something good to say about everybody's car, whether it be a BMW M6. Of course, this thing is a monster. It's fast. It handles super well. Or you bring me a Toyota Corolla. I go, boy, this thing is so reliable and so economical. This is a really great car. I would just have a huge, extensive of collection of cars and be out on the track quite often.
What's your dream car?
I like them. I like them all. I had a chance to drive the 2017, before it was released in production, Audi R8 V10 Plus. 0 to 60 is something like 2.8 seconds.
Man.
And I was handed the keys. They Audi staffed a driver who really didn't seem to care what I did. And they said, here you go. And he said, just – ticket's yours, Bob. I said, okay, great. And I just took that thing out for probably longer than I should have and had a blast in it. So that's the one that's up on my wall right now.
That's great. What's the next generation of repair shops going to look like?
We're going to be dealing with, let's say, the next generation of clients. We're coming to the age of instant. So we need to be able to deliver to our customers and be able to respond to them very quickly. Technology is going to be huge in it. We need to have our digital inspections. We need to be able to relate to them. We're coming into the Neo generation, and they want a very impressionable, great experience from the moment they want in the door. We need to be 110% in our deliverables, because they're no longer just looking for their car to be fixed right the first time. They're looking for a phenomenal experience to go along with it.
Do you see specialization being part of that?
Absolutely.
Like what?
Specifically, I want to see specialization in certain brands, and to have a team that is dedicated to working on and specializing in certain brands. So that's where I see this going.
I've interviewed an awful lot of entrepreneurs that do have, you know, the Euro, the Asian platforms that they work on. They're expert at it. They own all the equipment for it. And it works well for them. So great. Hey, I have had a blast. We talked shop. We talked your, you know, how you went from pizza guy to shop owner. We talked about how you're going to duplicate your process and grow. And we talked about beer. Wow. Incredible. Well, Bob Noriega from AutoWorks of Tampa, give us some final words of wisdom to share.
Find your why. Everybody needs to have a why when they wake up in the morning. And I believe that if you have a reason that is deep enough, you will study, you will learn, and you will find out how. Waking up every day and having a dedicated, determined plan of how you're going to take your life and you're going to make it into what you want is everything that any entrepreneur or any person needs.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Great, great wisdom.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on, Carm.
No problem. Hey, aftermarket professionals, thanks so much for listening. I hope you pulled a lot of great inspiration from Bob Noriega. Now, find additional show notes on Bob and additional bio information and a link to his company at remarkableresults.biz/E171. And while you're there, sign up to be a podcast insider and get the pulse on every new episode release. Hey, I really do appreciate your engagement with the podcast and would ask that you help spread the word. Your help is needed to unite our industry. And I'm grateful for your support. Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from another inspiring aftermarket professional. Until next time.